So today we're talking about dads, and you know, so here's an interesting thing, and I get it. So some of us have or had dads that just weren't the best example. Amen. My father. Here's the crazy thing. Like, I knew my dad loved me. There wasn't a question in my mind that he loved me. The problem was he didn't know how to show me. And so when I was younger, I didn't care about what reason he had to be what we call a dillweed. And so a dillweed is a spice. Thank you. Ladies, how many use dillweed? So oh, how I try. All right. So, my dad was a dillweed. And when I was younger, I'm like, listen, there's no justification for your actions. Sorry. But as I got older, I got to thinking about it. So, by the time my dad was 13, he was in military school or whatever it was. You know, they sent him off to a military school, and then he ended up going, or he went to an orphanage and then to a military school, and nobody really wanted him. His mom died when he was born. As a matter of fact, she died on the table. It's just like, so I can look back and go, man, my dad's life was a mess. It was an absolute train wreck. And then I say, well, he did the best he could with what he had. And then I think, well, no, he could have done better because he knew right from wrong. And the reality is, guys, if we don't have influence in our life to do different, guess what we don't do? Different, right? We do what we have been trained to do. We do what we grew up with if we are not careful. And when I had children, I swore I would never do to my children what my dad did to me. And then one day I got so angry, and I took my finger and I poked my daughter in the forehead. And I went, that's what my dad did to me all the time. Right? And so all of a sudden I'm going, what? I just did what I said I wouldn't do. Then I had to make it a point. I'm not going to do that no more. And so I asked my children for forgiveness. And I tried diligently to make sure that never happened again, and it never did. So when we look at dads and we look back at our fathers, some of us may not have had the best example. Amen? But I can tell you this right now. You don't have to follow that example when you have a new example to look at. So I look at who my father is today. And my father is my heavenly father. Amen. And my father has shown me the way. He's shown me truth. He's shown me love. He's shown me direction. He's shown me discipline. Not abuse, but discipline. Because guys, you still got to discipline. Amen. The Bible says if you fail to discipline, then you hate your child because you don't love them enough to teach them the way they should go. But if we're going to look at some scripture so that brings understanding, because some of you are like, I'm going to discipline you. No, man, how can we constructively raise our children up and make a difference in their life? So what I thought I would do was, I got this paracord, and it's the coolest thing if I can rip cardboard. Okay. So the coolest thing about this paracord is this paracord bracelet, can absolutely be a representation or a reminder, men, of how we should be as dads. And you might say, well, I'm not a dad. Well, how about a representation of how you should be as a man toward others? We're all without excuse, amen? We're all still held accountable. We're all still held to a standard that if we're going to raise the next generation up or we're going to encourage those around us, we still have to maintain a standard of decency and respect and love. And like, there's this whole thing that culminates in it. And what we have to do is we have to keep it all balanced out. When we get out of balance, we got a problem, amen? And by the way, men, dads, you get a you get a paracord bracelet, which I think is really pretty cool. Not because I picked it out, but because I picked it out. And so on this bracelet, you have the paracord. And we're going to talk about what that represents. We have a whistle. We're going to talk about what the whistle represents. And then we have a striker, where you can take this and strike it on a... I'll have to see where that thing was at. At any rate, you take the striker out and you strike it, and it's flint, right? And you can light a fire with it. And when I saw this... where's my wife? Oh, there she is. Nico, you're hiding my wife, but it's all right. Stay there. So Sherry and I, we were in Massachusetts, and we stopped at a store, and when I saw this, I went, Father's Day. Father's Day. And she's like, you sure that's what you want to get? I go, I've already got the sermon. This, as soon as I saw it, I got the sermon. I didn't have the sermon prepped prior to this, but as soon as I saw this, I went, oh my goodness, that's it. That is it. So I hope you guys will enjoy this, and you can always throw it in your bug out bag and or backpack or whatever you want to call it that you have to grab when you got to run. And I think that you will appreciate this, and I hope it reminds you of what you're supposed to be as a man of God, especially if you're a father. Okay? All right. My first question is, though, and I don't have the wireless mics. I'm sorry. I unplugged them and never plugged them back in. What is your, like, when you think of dad, what do you think about? Anybody want to share? Yes. Your rock, the strong one you can go to share your feelings with. Girl, that's straight up high five material right there. That's what I'm talking about, right? Did you guys hear what she thought of when she thinks of dad? The rock, the one she can go to share her feelings with. That's awesome. Anyone else, when you think of dad or father, what do you think of? Yes. Teacher. Yeah, right? Listen, in the Old Testament, it was the father's job to make sure he taught the children. Especially taught the children the word of God. Interesting stuff. Yes. Leader. Provider. Someone went, that was mine. Yes. Problem solver. Yes. Security. Anyone else? Yes. Fixer upper. Protector. What was that back here? Buck, did you say barber? Breaker and fixer, that's right. Yeah. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Okay, some of you dads, how many of you dads are like that? If at first you don't succeed, try again? You're like, dang on, I thought I could fix it. Well, let's buy another one. Or are you like my brother, you buy three of them so you can use it once? Because every time he buys something, he loses it, and then he can't, at any rate. Anyone else? You think of father or dad, yes? Mechanic. Or if you're in the Philippines, he is referenced as a mechanic. All right? Anyway, some of you don't even care. Anybody else? Strength. Supporter. Yes. Carrier. Anyone else? So when we think of dads, dad carries a big role. You know, the thing is, here's the deal. Mom carries a huge role. And God set it up. Mom, here is your role. Dad, here is your role. And if this is going to work, it's going to take both of you. If it's going to work, it's going to take both of you. Listen, mom, dad, if some of you are divorced, that's okay. If you're separated, okay. I mean, it's not okay, but okay. It is what it is, right? But it does not, listen, just separation or whatever it is, does not negate your responsibility as a dad or a mom or a man or a woman to fulfill those obligations. Amen? So I'm gonna we're heavy scripture today because I'm gonna talk about super dad. Super dad, right? What does super dad look like? And I thought, hey, you know what? Since the S is the biggest thing there, I'm gonna make everything an S. I'm talking about three topics, right? Because I got a rope, I have a whistle, and I have the flint. I could have decided to use the buckle too, but I thought I'd save that for another day. And so, but I'm the three things that we're going to talk about. And so every one of them is an S because, Dad, if you're going to be super dad, you need to hear me. Gentlemen, if you're in here and you are not a dad, you don't have children, you want to know what it takes to be a man, this is part of it. Part of your influence on or with other people. We can't escape this. There's nothing about this message that anybody can escape. Okay? Mom, the verses talk about all of us. I'm just aiming them directly at the men today because it's Father's Day and I needed a sermon. But it really can apply to most of us because I think that we can look at our Heavenly Father and see all of this in our Heavenly Father, and now we got to become this as men. Dads, men, those that are going to be dad, all of us, we need to think about what we're about to learn. All right, so the first thing I'm going to talk about is the paracord, the rope. You know, what do we use rope for? Okay, go rock climbing. What do we use rope for? Come on, men. What would you use a piece of rope for? Tie something down, secure it, right? So we're going to talk about security. The paracord of the rope should represent security because if we're going to carry a load, where it's in the back of the truck, what do? We tie it down. We want to secure it. And so as we look at security, I want you to see some verses that we're going to talk about. And you guys can write these down, these verses down, because I think I have something like 83 verses that we're going to cover today. And okay, maybe not that many. Nico finally went, 83, we'll be here until, I don't know. Psalm 122, 6 through 7. Dads, an example, a great example. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that may they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. And so, dads, as we look at this, we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our family. We need to pray that they prosper. We need to pray that they have peace. And then we need to pray that they are solid where they're at for all of this to happen. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're not praying for your children, you are missing it. If you're not praying for you to be the dad or the man that you should be, you are missing it. Mom, if you're not praying for your husband, you are missing it. If you aren't married, you better be praying for the husband that's coming or to be the husband that you're supposed to be when you get married. I'm telling you, our biggest weapon that we have that we can profit from absolutely is the one that nobody uses or uses the least, and that's prayer. Man, we need to pray. Jeremiah 33:6 says, "Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth." Behold, Dad, bring health into your home. Bring health into these relationships. Bring some healing, you know, because the truth is, man, these children today, they live in such an unbelievable, corrupt world. I'm watching these schools, and these schools are corrupt, and these schools have an agenda, and this agenda is the farthest thing from God, and they want to reach your child and twist their brain up like noodle soup. And I'm just telling you, Dad, you need to bring health and healing into your household so that your children can come to you and talk to you. Listen, when there is security because you have said, I'm the man and I'm going to lead my house. By the way, gentlemen, God said that you are the leader of your house, but that also means you will be held accountable for the way you led your house. So if you're going to take that position and look at your wife and go, yeah, well, Pastor said I'm the man, and so since I'm the man, yeah, you know you got to be the servant. Well, you better be willing, you better be someone worthy to serve. Jesus was worthy to serve. Our Father in heaven is worthy to serve. And so make sure, Dad, man, that if you're going to pull the trump card that God made me head of the household, so you got to be subservient, and you better make that household worthy to serve. Amen? Listen, with every position, with every bit of power, with everything, there comes a responsibility on that person. And dads, our responsibility is to make sure that our household is secure. And that we have security, and that we bring health, and we bring healing. You show them, listen, with health and healing, what happens? Peace and truth. Who doesn't want peace? Especially today. Oh my goodness, crazy. People have lost their minds. Job 11:18, and you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around and take your rest in safety. You would be secure because there is hope. Dad, are you showing your children the hope in Jesus? Are you showing them hope in your household? What kind of household are you designing? Can your children and your spouse, can they rest in peace and safety because they know that you have the house? By the way, I don't know, men, if you know this, but God made women to need safety and security. I'm telling you, these women who are like, I don't need no man. I'm telling you right up front, she's lying. She is lying big time. Without a man, she's not going to be no mama. Without a man, her house, if it's not the way God designed it, her house is not going to have rest and safety the way it should. Not because the woman can't take care of herself, but God said, listen, for the two of us to come together and for this house, this family to be one, Dad, you got to take your role. Mom, you got to let him go and let him have that role. If you keep taking his role from him, guess what he'll quit doing? He'll just stop. He's like, you want it? I'm not fighting you anymore. I'm done, right? And then it's like, Lord, send me a real man. And God's like, if you let him be, he will be a real man. We got to bring rest and safety because God's called us. And contrary to belief, listen, women, you are amazingly strong. Please do not let me even begin to take anything away from that. Anybody that can have a baby with a head like that, man. And you got noodle brains, ladies. Spaghetti brains, man. You can get 18 trains going in 18 different tracks that cross over and go under, and none of them collide. Man, we're waffle heads. We get little boxes, and we just hang in that box until the box is done, and then we move on. And you ladies are like, I'm not minimizing anything, but what I'm saying is we all have our position, and ladies, you got to let men do their job, because if you keep taking their job, they won't do it. And you'll get mad and you'll complain about how bad they are when the reality is you're the problem. And then, of course, if the husband's lazy, he's the problem. Oh, I got to keep this positive. All right, Psalm 40, verse 2. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Dad, listen to me. Listen to me, Dad. Establish your children's steps. Establish them. Get involved in their life and establish those steps. Listen, look at this. You know, they're struggling. Don't beat them down. They're not exactly what you thought they should have been. Don't beat them down. Pick them up out of the miry clay. Pick them up out of the problem. Clean them off and establish their steps. Set them up. Look them eye to eye. Son, daughter, I love you. And together we'll get through this. Dad, they need you. They need you. Dad, you got to be there. Just like the Lord. Remember, God's teaching us. God brought us up out of the horrible pit. Look, he took me out of the pit. He took me out of the miry clay. He established me. And Dad, we need to do the same thing. Man, quit knocking your children to the ground. So what? They're not everything you thought they should be. Help them get there. Help them. You ever think that your children fall short because you fell short in teaching? Got to pick up the pace, gentlemen. Forget, listen, I don't care that you live in an 18,000 square foot home and you drive a Porsche and you swim with yachts. I don't care. What I care is that you're establishing your children's steps and that you're investing in your children. Man, I'm telling you, I would trade my soul to spend time with my children. And the older I get, oh, the day is coming. I got one married, and she is about 10 minutes too far away. And I got one that goes to college, and she's about 3.5 hours too far, 3 hours if I'm driving. Too far away. And I think, man, every time I see them, I just want to hug them and I want to hold them. I want to help establish their steps. I'm Tori plays volleyball, and I tell Tori all the time, I'm your biggest fan, and that's no joke. And Taylor, she processes everything, very methodical. And I think, oh my goodness, man, she is rocking it out because she's processing information. Now, she doesn't always do the right thing with that information, but she takes the time to process it. You can't say she didn't think about it because she did. I've said before, if a house is burning down, Taylor would be like, let's not rush. Think through this. We don't want nobody to get hurt. Grab some buckets. We could call the fire department. All right, we'll work through this. And Tori's like, woo, get the marshmallows. There's a fire. And let me just say this. That is as accurate as it will ever get. And me, I'm like, get the buckets. It's not time to eat. But I love them both dearly, right? Man, my children, what would I do without them and what do I do with them? But I want to establish their steps. I want both of them to know they can do anything in this world that they want to do. They can conquer the world. Victory is theirs. All they got to do is go after it. But if they got dad that's going to help them, and dad that's going to be there for them, and dad that's going to build them up, guess what they will be? They will be successful. Guys, please do not underestimate. If your child is having a problem, be the one that they can go to and share their problems with. Because the truth is, they need you so desperately right now. Be that dad. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Let me break this one down, because you're like, Pastor, why did you get this passage? Well, because it was a great tongue twister, and I thought, hey, why not throw it in? Listen, there's no fear in love. Now, here's the reality. My children know that I will discipline them in a heartbeat. Even to this day, I will call them to the carpet. But you know what my children know? Man, they know that I love them. And there's no need to fear me, even though they think I have intimidating eyes and whatever. The idea here is that when they look at you, there's no fear, that there is love. Yes, you'll discipline them. Yes, you're going to teach them. Yes, you're going to guide and direct them. But listen, if the perfect love isn't there, in other words, it's not as balanced, and they understand that they're going to get disciplined. They understand that you love them above all. Listen, when that happens, guys, that you know you're on the right track. But if you come home and you have a puppy that pees on the floor and children that run to their rooms, you've messed up. You've messed up. I'm just saying, you've messed up. That's a bad sign, and you need to fix it. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied a faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Listen, guys, do not be lazy. If you don't have a job, get a job. Just get a job. You got 18,000 excuses. Nobody wants to hear any of them. Just go get a job. Go work. Work. You have an obligation. Get a job. And listen, I don't care what you're doing. I really don't care. People used to be when I was in between. Anyway, it was a mess. And so, I was driving. Garbage truck. And I have this mentality where it's like, go, 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 get it done, right? Everything is a competition to me. And so I'm going through this new neighborhood, hadn't been through there. Didn't realize that the way they made the road was a little bit of a swale because you really couldn't see it. And so I had a guy on the back holding on. He's daydreaming. And I'm rolling through there doing about 45, 50 mile an hour in a neighborhood that I should have been doing 25 in. And all of a sudden, it's like, whew. And I look in the rearview mirror, and all I see is my friend going, ah. He had let go of the truck. I thought, you dummy. Why'd you let go of the truck? Anyway, it's because, you know, I'm going to make it my fault. His fault. So the reality is, guys, listen, I have been janitor. I have been garbage man. Name it. Man, I've done so many things, right? Because to me, honest living, make a buck. Who cares what you're doing as long as it's honest living and you're making a buck? I think it's commendable. And people that want to put positions if you have a job and you enjoy your job, man, you do your job to honor God. I don't care what anybody else thinks. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again because I think it's the best. People are like, well, you know, he's a janitor. Yeah, go sit down, do number two, and there's no toilet paper, and tell me how important that janitor is now. Amen? There's nothing there. No paper towel, no tushy paper, no hand paper, no paper at all. All of a sudden, that janitor is somebody really important. I'm just telling you, everybody has a job because every job is important, so get a job. Get a job. Provide for your family. And it's not just about the money. Providing for your family here is very specific contextually to providing for your household. But I'm going to tell you that providing for your house is every way. Provide for your house financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Dad, just do it. Just do it, man. Teach your children. It doesn't matter what they do. If they do it with all their might and do it as unto the Lord, it's good. Do it. Do it. Because the truth is, everybody has their part. Everybody has their part. And I don't care if you're the big toe or the little toe. If you're the pinky or the thumb. Everyone is valuable because every piece completes the body. Complete the body. Psalm 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Now, I saved this one for last because this is our example. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. Dad, do your children trust you? Do they trust you because you've established that? Do they trust you because they know your name and they're going to put trust in you because, Dad, you have showed yourself to be trustworthy? The Lord has shown us. And this is obviously directed straight to God. We're not going to take this out of context, but I thought, man, this is a great question. Do your children know you and trust you? That's the question. Dad, if your children don't trust you, you got to fix it. And by the way, you can start fixing it as soon as service is over. I'd say now, but I don't want you to get up and leave. Literally, as soon as service is over, you know how you do it? If you haven't been right with your children, first thing you do is what? Go to them and ask for their forgiveness. If I've been a dillweed, please forgive me. Or if you know very specifically how you've been a dillweed, ask for forgiveness for that exactly. What you really want, your goal is that your children know you and trust you. That's what you want. Because if they know you and don't trust you, that's terrible. Especially if it's because of your actions. Fix it. You know what? Ask for forgiveness. If they forgive you, praise Jesus. If they don't forgive you, at least you did the right thing and you started in the right direction. But man, you got to start somewhere. So the next one we're going to look at, the whistle. The whistle is supervision. Supervision. So the rope is security. The whistle is supervision. And in supervision, guys, it's all about giving direction. It's not being the tyrant. It's about giving direction. It is about encouraging. It is about reminding. It is about this whole idea that the whistle is to get their attention and help them do and go in the right direction. The whistle. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's another whistle. Right? We use the word of God to do what? To thoroughly equip, to complete our children for everything, for every good work. It's the whistle. Hey! Look, no, this way. Hey, the Bible says that we don't do that, and so we're not going to do that. God says that that's not good, so you know what? We're not going to do that. And it doesn't take long that your children start seeing your actions, because you're going to live it out. You're not going to be the hypocrite. And you start showing them the Word of God, and they start correlating Word of God and I stay out of trouble. Wow, this is a good thing. Word of God and life is better. Wow, this is a good thing. And so we're going to use it to thoroughly equip every good person for every good thing. And so your whistle, the Word of God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The whistle, you are going to lean on God and trust in God, and you're going to teach your children to lean on God and trust in God, and then God's going to direct your paths. It's so important. So important that we trust in the Lord, not on our own understanding. We blow the whistle. We sound the alarm. We teach. We supervise. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Guys, we need to instruct and teach our children in the way they should go and watch. Always be aware. So if they start going to the left or to the right, guess what you can do? Whoa, no, get back over here. Oh, no, get back. Listen, when your child first started to walk, how many were like this the whole time? Right? You're like, oh, no. Ah! You kept your eye on them. This is what we're talking about. The whistle is to supervise and to help, to be there. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Are you robbing your children of their future and their hope because you are a dillweed? Have you promised your children one thing, but because now all of a sudden you got to change your heart or change your mind, or your desires are now what they shouldn't be, so now you're robbing your child of the future and the hope that you promised them because you're so focused on you can't see anybody else? Fix this. Tell your children, remind your children, help your children. And I'm not saying do everything for them, because I think they need to learn how to work, get sweaty, and stink. I think they need to learn how to do that. I think they need to know what it is to get dirty hands and to labor for something that they want. I believe that they ought to do that. But I also believe that if they have a future and a hope and it's not contrary to godliness and righteousness, then you need to get behind them and you need to encourage them and help them. I just think that we need to do that. I think it always needs to stay balanced, but I think that we need to give them a future and a hope, just like God wants to give you and me. Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Are you restoring your child's soul? Are you bringing that comfort? Dad, listen, if you're not hugging your children, I'm going to run you over with my truck. If you're not hugging your children, if you are not hugging your children, you are not restoring their soul. You need to physically take your child and wrap them in your arms and squeeze them to where they say, Dad, you're hurting my neck. Dad, I can't breathe. Dad, hurry up. Dad. Yeah, I'm telling you everything I hear. Like that's, my children are laughing because they're like, yeah, Dad, Dad, the button's in my chin. Dad, I can't hear. Man, you know why I hug? I love my children. I want my children to know that I love them. And you know the coolest thing is when I give them a hug, they know and they do. They hug not as hard as I want them to. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not letting you go until you really give me a bear hug. I'm not lying. You ask my girls. They're like, Dad, okay, Dad, there you go. And I'm like, no. Do it like you mean it, even if you don't. Oh, I drive my girls crazy. But I want to restore their soul. I want them to know. Listen, I bumped heads with my girls. Especially Tori and I. We are two peas in a pod. So Taylor and I look alike, but Tori and I act alike. And I can't tell you how many conversations that her and I have had. Where I'd be headstrong and she's headstrong. And I go, I'm the parent. I control it. I control the wallet. I control it. And I will drop a bomb when a little firecracker will do. Boom! There you go. See, look at me now. And then I'd walk away from it. She's in tears. I'm mad as fire. And God will go, yeah, that fixed it all, didn't it? And I'm like, okay, I got it. How many can relate? And then I go back to my daughter and we sit down and we talk like two human beings and we work it out. And if I've been wrong, I will look right at her and ask for her forgiveness. I'm not so high and mighty and think that I got all the answers that, listen, if I'm wrong, I'm asking for forgiveness. Do you know why? Because, man, I want to restore her soul and I want to restore our relationship. I may not always get it right the first time coming out of the gate. Every now and then I got to back up and rerun. And I went to both of my girls and said, will you forgive me? I've been wrong. Dad didn't get that one right. So important. So important that we restore their soul. And to lead them. That's the other key word. Lead them in paths of righteousness. We restore that relationship as quickly as possible. Because if you don't do it as quickly as possible, Satan will get in there and he'll plant those little seeds of hatred that will grow. Or frustration and lies that will grow into hatred. I'm telling you, deal with it quick. Quick, Dad, get in there. Do not allow room for the devil to get in there and disrupt any relationship between you and your child. And let me just tell you, your child is the one that you have come along to and been a father to. That's your child. There may be no blood there, may not even be a marriage there, but you have taken a child under your wing. They're looking at you like Dad. You act like Dad. You act like Dad. You love that child. You restore that child's soul. You hug that child. You help that child. You guide that child. Give that child security. And the payoff might not seem like there's anything at the moment sometimes, because there's been times where I'm like, oh, Lord, like, why'd you give me that child? Right? And then all of a sudden something happens and you go, wow, they got it. They got it. Who would have known? Right? How many have been down that road, right? Man, I'm so proud of both my girls. Both of them. Because they got older and I went, man. I look at my wife and go, we did good. Isaiah 30:21. Your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left hand, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is what God does. Like if you're getting off track, God's going to go, no, you better get over there. Don't push me, boy. Okay. Right? We need to be the voice behind our children. Not to control every step and every act and every action, because as a society, we have failed to allow our children to fail. And I'm just going to tell you, you know what? Let your child fail. Let him fail. Let him cry. Because here's the reality. There is no such thing as failure. Because every time you fall and you didn't get it right, you should have learned a lesson and you avoid that pitfall again. And so there's no, listen, my children, let them fail. You want to use the word fail, failure, whatever. I don't care, because here's the reality. If I let them learn, they will remember it way better than if I control every move and every breath they take. Now, I want them to fail and learn. I don't want it to be devastating in them to lose everything. So guess what? I'm going to be that little voice going, where are you going? Well, you know the rules. Right? That's just reminding them. And when they're younger, they think you see and know everything. And you just go, yeah, you. Right? So But listen, when it's talking about when it talks about your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, we need to be the one that they hear. But listen, it needs to be in such a way where they go, man, Dad, he is annoying as snot, but I love him. Right? Like, it needs to be healthy, guys. All right, so Romans 12:2, because if I don't get through this, we're not going to get out of here. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. Dads, you need to be teaching your children how to be conformed to God and the things of God and not the world, because the world will have you rioting and looting and burning and murdering and destroying innocent people's lives and property. Dads, don't let them go figure it out on their own. Listen. Don't be conformed to this world. This world has nothing to offer you. Let me tell you what we need to do, guys. And if you do this as an example rather than as you do as I say, not as I do. How many have ever heard that? My dad telling me he caught me smoking. So as my dad's smoking, boy, let me tell you, better start doing what I tell you to do and not what I do. You understand me? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. Right? It's real hard. Oh, dear Jesus, forgive me. All right, look, it's real hard to do what someone tells you to do when they're being the hypocrite. Amen? When you see them doing it and they're telling you not to do it because it's wrong to do, you want to look at them and go, hey, Daryl, can I help you? Right? So listen, teach them, Dad, do not be conformed to the world. But in order to teach them how to not be conformed to the world, that means you got to live a righteous life so you can teach them the way they should go. Amen? Dad, listen. Just look at today as I have just given you a gold mine of information to make your child and help your child go in the way they should go, to love you and to take that relationship between you and your child to be the best thing ever. I'm giving you a gold mine. Listen, you can take it home. You can thank me later. Sorry. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Sometimes our children are like, I can do what I want. As soon as you wake up, some of you will catch that. Listen, we have to help our children understand that God owns them and that they're not their own and they need to take care of themselves. And again, guys, part of this is that you got to do the same. Mom, you're not exempt from this. You're not exempt from any of this, Mom. I'm just preaching to Dad today because it's Father's Day. All of us are held accountable to these standards. And so if you abuse your body, do you not realize that your child will as well? We have to set the example. Proverbs 22:6. And I'm going to end the supervision part of this, the whistle on Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Guys, if you get serious about living a righteous life, then you can train your child up in the way they should go, and when they're old, if they leave, they'll come back to it. But if you live ungodly, do not be shocked if your child acts just like you. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. Whether mom or dad, don't be shocked. And let me just say, in today's world, there's a whole lot smaller of a stop sign than what you and I had growing up. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about leading to death. It's a tough place to be this in this world today for those that you're not growing up and children don't understand. And they think it's okay to eat Tide Pods because YouTube put it out there or something. I don't even know. Like, how do you not know Tide is poisonous? Let me eat a little plastic ball filled with poison because this just might be an exciting YouTube video. All right, sarcasm gets me nowhere. The last one is your igniter. Be a spark for your child. Set your child on fire. Encourage them. Build them up. Lift them up. Listen, you dad, I'm telling you, you come alongside your child and you can teach your child and encourage your child to do things that they never dreamed possible. But because you believed in them and they believed you, you just turned their world upside down. Be the spark. Remind them, 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I can talk about and preach this verse for 5 weeks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 weeks I could preach on this verse. And you know it. All right, here we go. I think about this, and then I think of the all those in the Old Testament, right? And the things that they did. And so, you know what I did? I erased all of my examples. That's okay. So, think about Joseph, right? At 17 years old, Joseph is in Potter's house, man, made ruler over his house. Why? Because he refused to compromise. He was raised up right and did right. Look at David. Look at David. David, all the men were like, oh, I'm not, man. Have you looked at him? He is so tall. He's 9 foot tall. We're 6 foot at best. This dude's 9 foot. And so the Philistines were like, hey, you take on our big boy here and you win. And the Israelites are going, I don't think so. But because dad raised him right and God was behind him and he believed in himself because he was taught that he could do anything, you know what he did? He went, I'll take out Goliath. David was like, man, with God behind me, this joker's got nothing. Okay, that's my verbiage, not the scriptures, but you get the idea, right? And so the king's like, oh, okay, we got a little boy. We'll sacrifice him. Who cares? Here, put all this armor on so you can't move, walk, see, do, and go out there and let him kill you, and we'll just keep running and hiding behind the hills. And David said, I don't need your armor. I got Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. Okay, he actually didn't have the verse, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he had that belief in God, that God really equipped him. And David, this young shepherd boy, goes out and conquers Goliath. Why? Because dad raised him up to believe that he could do anything. And I want to encourage you to encourage your children and ignite that spark. And not for your dream, but for their dream. Not for what you think that they should be, but for what God has laid on their heart or what they want to be. If it's not ungodly, encourage it. Amen? Be the spark, the igniter. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And I got to roll, and if this is any encouragement to anybody, after this verse I have three. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You go, what's that got to do with encouragement? Teach them to love God first and foremost and then to love their neighbor. And all of a sudden, they'll get everything lined up just right. And you know what they'll do? They'll love God, and they'll love their neighbor, and there's nothing that they won't believe that they can't do. And you know what else it does? It fulfills the will of their life for God, that God has for them and for you and me. Encourage them. Get it right. They'll get it right. And all of a sudden, you have someone that is incredibly productive for society. Man, ignite and spark that and help them to understand what they need to be successful. And the first things that they need to do is to love their Lord God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love their neighbor like themselves. And man, you ignite that, and you'll have some amazing, amazing children that God loves way more than you. Remind them where we get our abilities. Remind them where we get our strength. Remind them where we get our mind. Remind them where we get everything. Remind them how we have victory. And that's Philippians 4:13. And in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is my God. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my Savior. And there's nothing that I can't do when I'm empowered through Him. In and of ourselves, we're but weaklings. Not but weaklings, but we are weaklings. Deuteronomy 3:30. Sometimes I need not improvise. Deuteronomy 31:6. I think if we teach our children this, and we live it, this is a game changer. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I think that if we take that attitude with our children, it doesn't mean that we're going to like everything they do. It doesn't even mean we're going to approve of everything they do. But I'm going to tell you what, we don't need to leave and forsake our children because they're not acting and being the way you think they should act and be. You need to understand that if they're not ungodly, then you need to go with it. Because maybe, just maybe, God is calling them to do something that you can't grasp. Because God's calling them to do it. Help them to be strong and of good courage, and that God is there and that you are there. And help them to not be afraid. Teach them that God is in control and you're right there with Him. And that you're not going to leave them, you're not going to forsake them. Just as God will not leave and forsake them. Now, obviously, God's going to go everywhere they go, and we need to praise Jesus. Sometimes we don't go everywhere our children go, but what it means is we're going to support them and love them no matter their good decisions or bad decisions. They need to understand we don't agree with it. They also need to know that they can come to us anytime and discuss and talk and know that we'll help them, because the day will come where they don't know what to do. And they won't know who to turn to. And you want them to turn to you, not their friends. Because their friends very well may say, nah, stay here. You'll get over it. Suck it up. It'll be good. Whereas they don't even want to be a part of it anymore. They don't have nobody to go to. But if you're it, they're going to come to you and they're going to like, Dad, can I talk to you? Sure. And Dad, this is what I've been doing. And you're going to go, what? But then you need to stop and go, okay, let's work through this. First off, you know I don't approve it. You know I don't like it. But let's get you to a better place. Don't leave them. Don't forsake them. And then the last one. Ephesians 4:29. And I finish with this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace. Dad, some of you, you are crushing your children with nasty words, with words that tell them they're no good or they can't do it or whatever. Guys, listen to me. Don't do that. Don't do that. You will destroy, absolutely destroy, a perfectly good child because they will believe what you tell them. And if you tell them that they're a superhero, they'll do way more than you ask or think. But if you tell them they're a zero, you will crush the life out of them. You will destroy that child. And that child will struggle to be and do everything we've just talked about. Because if you tell that child they're no good, but then you constantly try to get them to do good, then you're fighting an uphill battle. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And if it does, go to that child, go to that person and say, "Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I know I'm your dad. I know I'm supposed to be the figurehead. I know I'm supposed to be the leader, but this leader just messed up. And will you forgive me?" Be amazed at what that child will forgive you for. And then you fix it. Do what is good for necessary edification, that necessary growth, that it may impart grace, just like you and I receive from God. Grace. Guys, I want to encourage you, and I hope that this encouraged you. I hope it helped you. I hope somewhere along the line you went, "Ooh, I got to fix this. I got to fix that. I got to make this adjustment. I got to make that adjustment." I hope somewhere along the line this taught you how to be a super dad and that you practice it. Please, 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 please do not sit there, because if you sit there and you go, "Pastor don't know what he's talking about. I got a child that needs strong-armed." Well, you will always have a child that needs strong-armed because you need strung up. Understand, we have to keep balance. We got to love, and we got to discipline, and we got to guide and direct. Listen, it takes all of that. And you're not going to do it perfect. There's many times you mess up so bad, and you just go to him and ask him to forgive you. Just say, "Hey, I am so sorry." Humbly, "I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I overreacted. I didn't have all the information. I acted too soon." Whatever it is. And if they come to you, man, listen to them and listen out. Listen to what they have to say before you try to prove how right you are or justify your wrong actions. And I'm not saying you're wrong, right, or indifferent. What I'm saying is pay attention, because we want you to be a super dad, not a super dud. Amen? Hey, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will be finished. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and love you, Father. I thank you for all those who are here. Father, for those who are tuned in, Father, I ask that your hand would be upon us as dads, that we understand we're not perfect, which means we're going to mess up and we're not going to always get it right. But Father, I pray that you would always keep us humble, even before our children, Father. We can be strong and we can be the men that you've called us to be, but Father, we also have to show humility. And if we're wrong, we're wrong, even if it is in front of a child or with a child. And we make that right by asking the child for forgiveness, just as if we would ask you for forgiveness, Father, when we're wrong. So help us. Help us to balance out our emotions and our life and our attitude and everything, Father, that we look at these passages in the way that you call us and teach us and give us and direct us and guide us and love us, Father, in the way you discipline us and allow us, Father, to follow your example. Father, I pray for each and every one of these men in this room. Father, it doesn't matter if it's their children or the children that they have taken on to raise. And that, Father, that they would have the attitude they're going to raise them as their own, because that's what you've given them. And Father, they're going to have the attitude that they're going to raise the child as best that child can be raised to be the most productive adult in society, Father, and they're going to do it according to your word. Because, Father, the goal isn't to be the king. The goal is to raise up a godly servant that has the power and the strength to be a king. Father, use us. Father, for the ladies who are here, Father, help them to see that they need to follow the same rules, the same guidelines apply, Father. And I pray that you would just convict all of our hearts, Father, to do that which is right. As fathers, to raise the children right. As mothers, Father, to raise the children right. And as children, to be obedient to the parents. Because everybody's doing their job the way you've called it to be done, Father, that brings such joy. I pray that for each and every household today. Father, thank you for those who have come. Father, be with those as we leave today. May we always bring you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could